On my father's side, the family came from Ryan's Mill in Hugh Springs, Texas. My mother's side are Cajuns. Lisa's side of the family, her mother's side came from Houston and Humble, Texas, and her father's side came from Louisiana. So we have deep roots in both states. One of the things about having a family from East Texas is most of them are Southern Baptist, and I have a number of Southern Baptist ministers in the family, and I just love telling stories about them. I have a first cousin that's an evangelist, travels all around, does great revivals. First grand revival that he did, he got an idea. He's used it ever since. He secretly, up in the rafters, hides a young boy. And inside a cage is his trained dove. And the trained dove on cue flies around the church and lands on his shoulder. Now, he does that just before he asks for money. He likes to say something along the lines of, send the Holy Spirit down. The bird will fly around the church and land on his shoulder. He's doing a really good job until he got to Conroe 2 weeks ago. He yells out, and so the Holy Spirit came down. Nothing happened. I said, it's time for the Holy Spirit to come down. Nothing happened. Finally, he said, let's open the cage and send the Holy Spirit down. And a voice from the rafters came down. There's a big old yellow cat up here. Done ate the Holy Spirit. You want I should throw down that yellow cat? I know, really silly, right? I think that's the point Jesus is making in this gospel. Silly religion, trickery, the kind of religion that has no substance. That's what had invaded Israel. It was no longer about God. It was about the people. It was no longer about the worship of God. And Jesus is saying, it's got to stop. No more flying Holy Spirit, yellow cat canaries, basically. It's time for substance. Now, I want you to imagine that the disciples are gathered for their first day of school, because that's what this is. In our Bible story, this is Jesus getting into the teaching. I want you to remember the very first day you went to first grade. See if you can recall it. When you went to first grade on that first day, maybe you dressed up. Maybe you had Crayolas. I can almost still remember that paste smell that we had in art class. Maybe you can too. But here's the disciples thinking it's going to be like that when they woke up. And suddenly here's Jesus. Not the Jesus you and I have come to see, but the Jesus that is saying, mother against daughter. Daughter-in-law against daughter-in-law. See, Jesus knew that once his disciples went out and started spreading the good news, a mother would look at her daughter and go, why are you following this rabbi? Come on, don't do it. The son would say to his father, stop it. Dad, you're Jewish. Go to the temple. Don't listen to this guy. In other words, it's going to cause division. That's what's going on. And then there's something that we miss. And I don't want you to miss it, so maybe I'll put it in colloquial terms that we're currently living in. Jesus is saying to these disciples, when you go to a place and they don't receive you, in today's terms, suck it up, buttercup, and leave. Now, the reason I'm using that word is you may have missed it in the gospel. Beelzebul. Did you see it? They're going to call the master Beelzebul. That was a Jewish idiom, equivalent of what I just said, basically. Because what it means is, they're going to call me Lord of the flies, or, are you ready for this? What do flies hover over? Dung. Lord of the dung. Literally, that's what Beelzebul translates to. When Jesus said it, that reaction was like, what? So here they are, first day of school, no Crayolas, no construction paper. You're going to be divisive. You're going to go to towns and not be received. They're going to call you vile names. Wow. He also knew that they needed to move on when they went to a place they weren't received. So he gave them a visual. Clap your sandals together if you're not received and go to the next place. If you are received, give them the cool water, meaning the good news. Give them the refreshing news of God. Psychologists know too well what the disciples were going through. It's called the frozen syndrome. Fear of moving on, and fear of change. People become frozen. I know we've experienced that, haven't we? Loss of job, death, graduation, we become frozen. Causes us to stop. And Jesus is saying, no, clap your sandals together, move forward. And the beauty that we have here at St. Paul's is that we can become frozen if we're not careful. Beautiful place, loving family, good friends. We come to church and we just stay in these four walls. We too can become frozen. 3 weeks ago, I was giving my last tour at the Cathedral Church of St. Mark in Salt Lake City. A group of students came in, and they were from Harriman, mainly LDS high schoolers. So I showed them around. Here's our $1.5 million organ, played it a little bit. Here is our beautiful statues. Over here are Tiffany windows. This is where Doc Holliday's office was. This is where the sheriff of Deadwood was married. This is where Mark Twain sat. 14-year-old raises her hand. So, is this like a museum? Like, do people actually come here? Or is it only open during the weekday? Wow. I froze. Right then and there, I froze. Are churches like the Cathedral of St. Mark or St. Paul's here in Waco really becoming a building where we just come in and sit? Are we a museum? I don't think so. Our family in Waco needs us now more than ever. One of the reasons I wanted to come to Waco. On my watch, we're never going to become a museum. We will never close these doors. Instead, we're going to thrive. Why? Because St. Paul's knows how to make disciples. And we need disciples more than ever. Our world is hurting. We need that cup of refreshing water. The world's a mess. Unemployment. The economy going back and forth. Wars. Terrorism. Hatred. This community needs St. Paul's now more than ever. Now, we may not have all the answers, but we invite every question. Just before leaving Salt Lake, Lewis, a stalwart of the cathedral, been there decades, was in his 80s, came to see me. He said, I want to tell you about St. Paul's in Waco. Really? You know the place? I grew up in Waco. I went, oh, I've known him forever. Tell me more about it. His dad worked at Alico. He came here as a young child, not an Episcopalian. His classmate died, and the funeral of his elementary school classmate was held here. He said, when I walked in, I found the Episcopal Church, the liturgy, the music. This is where God resided. That's what it means to make disciples. The prayers, the good things that happen here. So I want us all to understand we are here for a purpose, and it's not just these four walls. Now, together, you and I, we're going to have our ups and downs. It's a fact of life. But we'll learn to shake the dust off our sandals and move forward together because Jesus has given us a direction. As your pastor, I'm going to promise you that I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to prod you, and I'm going to make you think. I don't know if you know it already, but I love you. I have a will to love each and every one of you. On those when you're having a bad day, I want you to call me. I want you to call me when life hits you square in the face. We're going to journey together. And trust me, if you have a great day and things are going wonderful, do like the rest of the people do and just line up at my office to tell me what a great job I'm doing. Every priest wants that, right? But the truth is, I make mistakes, and I do make them. When I make them, I'm strong enough to say, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I'll do better. But unless you tell me, I won't know. I'm going to give you strong leadership when required, but a gentle presence when needed. When you see me walking down a narrow alley, come to me and say, I think you perhaps ought to turn around. That's what it means to be in relationship. We love one another. In time, I'll get your trust, but I hope from the outset, I have your confidence. And together, we are going to journey. And remember one thing from this first homily. I am not the carpenter. I work for him. He's perfect. I'm not. And I know that, but I also know I have a good heart, and I have your very best interest right in front of me every day. And you may not know this, but I take a portion of our parish list, and every morning I pray for you by name. Together we're going to reach out, and I'm going to give you your first homework assignment. I know I'm giving you homework, right? I want you to look around and figure out who's not here. I want you to call them, and I want you to invite them back. I want you to say, I haven't seen you for a while at St. Paul's. I would love to see you. Come join me. I think that's important. Reach out. Welcome back to those that have fallen away, and together, we're going to become a growing church. And do you know why we have to grow? Museums are places that fail to grow. No one was left. We are going to continue to grow and thrive because this community needs this voice. So, beloved, get ready. We're going to reach outside these four walls. We're going to feed the hungry, clothe the poor. We're going to love those that have no one else but us to love them. And that's the church St. Paul's has been. It's a church we will be. And on my watch, we're never going to be a museum. So get ready. Because, my beloved disciples, we are now traveling. All of us, metaphorically, on the road to Galilee with Jesus.